Running a business shouldn't feel like surviving a software group project. One app for accounting, another for inventory, another for sales, and somehow none of them talk to each other. That's where Odoo comes in, an all-in-one business management software that brings every part of your business together, from sales and accounting to inventory and marketing, all in one powerful platform. No messy integrations, no bouncing between tabs, and best of all, no spreadsheets. Stop managing software and start managing your business with one unified system. Try for free today at odoo.com/iHeartRadio. That's odoo.com/iHeartRadio.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, Simon Constable, living in the south of France, paradise. However, many years' experience from Scotland's point of view, recently living in Edinburgh. And so I ask him to help me understand what appears to be the sagging fortunes of the Scottish National Party, once a brave entry into the world of British politics, and now in retreat, in dire retreat in the face of Labour. Simon, a very good evening to you. What I understand about British politics is that every once in a while, there's a vote and a complete switch of direction by the public. Complete, I mean total, as in wipeout. Right now, the expectation is that Labour, which is a shadow of its former self now sitting in Parliament, is going to overwhelm the Tories who've been in charge for nearly 13 years. A subset of this is what the Scottish National Party will have to offer to the Scottish people come the election, I think, at the end of 24. However, the SNP seems to be in trouble. Is that accurate, and why? Good evening to you, Simon.
Good evening to you, John. This is a fascinating story. The Scottish National Party has had a grip on power in Scotland for a long time now, well over a decade. We're talking about what could happen to their contingent in the national parliament of the entire UK. And that looks like what's going to happen is that they will be crushed. We'll take it down from 45 or 46 MPs in the national parliament down to a little over sort of half of that level, which is pretty bad. And what's happened here is that the previous leader, Nicola Sturgeon, has gone amid scandal. She's gone. And apparently, according to the Telegraph, she has vanished into thin air, just as Hamza Youssef, he's the new leader of the Scottish National Party, wants. And then the Alan Cochrane writing for them says, the former First Minister doesn't turn up much at Parliament these days. It seems she would rather be a celebrity than a politician. And that actually fits with what Liz Truss said about her, that Nicola Sturgeon was a bit of an attention seeker. So maybe being a celebrity will suit her. But I've got to say that I think Hamza Youssef, who is the new leader, has a big problem. We just went through the pandemic. That didn't really work. And lots of other things that are coming home to roost about the Scottish National Party's economic policies aren't really working. They're actually making things worse. So it isn't surprising that the voters are going to likely flee away from the SNP in Scotland towards Labour, certainly not towards the Tories. It's not good, though.
What is the red wall? Because the Tories often talk about how that was the secret to their domination these last years. Where is it?
So the red wall is very interesting. And in Britain, red is considered left wing and blue is considered right wing. So the opposite of America. So red and the Labour Party go together. And what happened in Northern England and large parts of Northern England, we had a lot of deprivation, and the Labour Party really wasn't giving a message that they could fix it and how they could fix it. And along came Boris, and there was this wave, this red wave went from being Labour over to being conservative. That may be reversed in the next election at the end of 2024, unless the Prime Minister, which is Rishi Sunak, can do something rather special, like bringing a bunny rabbit out of a top hat magically, which will be the equivalent of that. That is the problem. That was the red wave. And it seemed to happen a little bit in Scotland, away from the Tories, but more towards the SNP rather than the Labour Party. I have a feeling, though, that the Labour Party is the only party that seems to be sort of together at the moment in a basket full of dirty shirts, that they are the least dirty one at the moment.
The Scottish National Party is anti-Brexit. And they fought very hard during the Brexit contest, my memory, and resisted Boris Johnson's entreaties about independent vote again in Scotland. And that makes up part of the Red Wall, the border region between Scotland and England. I'm remembering my geography from many decades ago when I was in Scotland. And the Scottish National Party is for the European Union. That makes them naturally against the Tories. But Labour, I'm unfamiliar. Does Labour have a policy that is consistent with the Scotland, not just the SNP, but all of Scotland wants to stay in the European Union? Is that Labour's policy?
My understanding is that they are not as hard line in Labour against against Scotland leaving the United Kingdom, as are the Tories, the Conservative Party. However, when it comes down to it, you've got to look at the logistics of having Scotland leave the United Kingdom. And that will mean whoever is Prime Minister in London, when or if Scotland gets independence, they will have to go to the King and say, I'm sorry, they need to go. We need you to sign to pass this law. And no Prime Minister based in London will want to do that. That will be something that they will really want to shy away from. And that might seem very strange to folks in America, but it really is a part of the way things work there. Who wants to go to basically the titular head of the United Kingdom and say, sorry, we've bust up your kingdom. Your kingdom is shrunken and we won't want that. But yes, you are absolutely right. Scotland does want independence, and they really, really wanted to be with the EU, and they were really against Brexit because of that. Their very different attitude towards the European Union than many people in England.
Would they back Labour because they think Labour will give them that independence vote that Sturgeon wanted? Have you heard Starmer or anybody at Labour say, you know, we might, in order to win seats in Scotland?
I have heard whisperings that they might. That's my understanding. If you've heard more than whisperings, do let me know. But I've heard whisperings of that. But again, I don't know whether that will happen. But yes, if there are whisperings around, it might be that will encourage people to vote for Labour. I have this feeling, though, that Labour won't deliver on it. And that's just my feeling. So take that for what it's worth, which is probably not a whole lot. But I have a feeling that people might say, well, we're definitely not going to get independence from the Tories. So, and we, if we want it, so let's go with Labour. They look like more of a soft target than the Conservatives. And that may be all that's required. Just something that's not as dead on arrival as it would be for the Conservatives.
Let's retreat from the dystopia of Scotland to the paradise of the south of France. Simon, how are your prices as the wheat grows?
Absolutely wonderful. I went and got some diesel for the car today, and it was down to €1.68 per litre, which is considerably lower. It was up near €2 per litre. So we're talking about a substantial drop over the past few weeks, and that's great. Especially around here, because farmers and a lot of the people in the countryside rely on diesel. It's a much more fuel efficient, you know, stuff to put in your car than is gasoline. So that's good. Wheat prices, unfortunately, are down if you're a seller. There is wheat in the fields around me here at my home, which is absolutely lovely to look at. And better than all of that, natural gas prices, which is what determines the price of electricity, have fallen to less than one-tenth of what they were late August last year. So under €30 per megawatt hour, compared with well over, you know, 30, I think, is what the figure was. It was just a very, very large amount, and I think we're very happy with that.
Simon, a final detail. France has been in turmoil for many months. I presume from reading the news that the turmoil has quieted, that there's no longer that direct anger at the central government, at Macron. Is that accurate?
That is absolutely accurate. Yes, that has disappeared. It's dissipated. There are no protests, no people just standing with placards, no train strikes. People are going to work. People look happy. I think part of that may be to do with the fact that the sun has arrived. There's a little bit of wetness here in the south, but it's not terrible. And it's certainly not flooding. So summer is basically well on its way here. And people are looking forward to that rather than marching around protesting Macron. He has also done his bit to help it by having things like saying, OK, I've got some giveaways to give you and I will be doing that. And yes, let's get it going.
Simon Constable, who writes for Barron's and the Wall Street Journal and other distinguished publications. He is in the south of France, but for many years he was my reporter on Scotland, which is now in turmoil, not the least because of the general election to be held next year, but also of the SNP's fortunes, which are surprising to me, given the bright start of many years past. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.